Well, good day to you. It's Joel with The King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
Hi, I'm Dave Barnes.
And I'm John McLaughlin.
And welcome to Dadville.
Dadville is a podcast where we talk about life, love, and the pursuit of awesome dadding.
It's funny thoughts and deep talks.
So please, enjoy your time here in Dadville and enjoy this episode with...
Lauren Sky.
Folks, this is a big deal for Dadville. We've got a guest who is... kind of overqualified to be on the podcast. Honestly, he's a little too successful. That's, well, I mean, we've had success.
Just
we
too much upper body strength, I would say.
That's so true. So Lawrence Guy is with us today, and this is a really, like, so we start our podcast with what we call a brag sheet, kind of like, you know, the things that you've accomplished in your life, and this one is pretty intimidating. I'm just going to start at the top and just sort of brag about you here. All right, as a freshman at Arizona State University, Lawrence played in all 12 games and totaled 44 tackles. That's a lot of tackles. It's the second highest among Pac-10 defensive tackles on the season. He earned all freshman honors and was named to FWAA's, or as we call it, FWA, Freshman All-American Team. Drafted in 2011 NFL Draft by the Green Bay Packers. Has been a key defensive player for the San Diego Chargers, the Ravens, and now the Patriots, which my heart is still hurting a little bit from the Titans loss. We're going to quickly move through that. During his first season with the Patriots, Lawrence, which I saw that video of you with that tackle, and it hurt even worse. That was at home, and I was like, oh, Jesus, we're not going to talk. Okay, recorded 58 total tackles and helped lead the Patriots to another AFC championship. In his second season with the Patriots, Lawrence had an impressive 59 total tackles. The team won the AFC championship and made it Super Bowl. I wish I knew what LII means, but I'm not smart enough to know. That's hysterical. I don't even know.
I wish I could help you. I don't know.
You guys made it to Super Bowl. Lawrence had record numbers in the big game and helped lead the Patriots to their sixth Super Bowl title. That's amazing. Ranked number 83 on Pro Football Focus's top 100 list in 2019. Recorded 61 total tackles in his third season with the Patriots. An advocate for students who suffer from learning disabilities fueled by his own diagnosed ADD, ADHD, dyslexia, and I don't even know how to say that. This is the coolest name of something. Dyscalculia. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay, good. I was nervous. You're like, bro, come on, get hip. He launched the Lawrence Guy Family Foundation in 2019 with the goal of aiding disadvantaged families. Nominated as the Walter Payton NFL Man of the Year nominee this year, which is amazing. And named 2021 Ron Burton Community Service Award winner. And right now is currently in the playoffs. How about that? That's pretty good. I feel like did I mess any of that up?
No, you did a great job. You know, you have to put in being your favorite team. It was the biggest plus ever.
All of that is so impressive. But what I'm maybe most excited about is that you are currently going. Like, we're not talking to you after the season. Like, you are very kindly talking to us, like, on a day off. Where you are in the playoffs right now.
I'm imagining that your legs in like those ice things right now. Like from your, we can't see your chest down, but I'm just assuming you have like
you're sitting in an ice bath right now.
Oh no, that's a little bit later. I got a little footy to get in the ice bath because it's cold.
Oh,
we got a whole nother, it's like a mini pool, but it's probably the coldest ice tub I've ever been in. Since I've been in the NFL.
How long do you have to be? Like, what is the goal? How long are you supposed to be in one of those?
Reality, you're supposed to be in there with contrast. So 2 minutes on, 2 minutes off, hot, cold, hot, cold.
Oof.
But sometimes you just sit in there for about 15 to 20 minutes and just hang out. So after a while, once everything goes numb, you just hang out there. And you just are like, you know what? I'm just going
to
be there.
How long does it take for everything to go numb?
That's the question. How long?
If you're used to it fast, you know, you're like, oh, it's whatever. But like, say you just jumped in there. Oh, man, your feet are going to kill you. Oh, it's nothing else. It's your feet. Your feet burn the most. It just hurts so badly for at least 3 minutes. But if you can suffer for the 3 minutes, You be golden. So fuck these little footies, so. Though.
Then you don't feel anything.
You don't feel nothing. You just sit there.
Yeah, I feel like that's a lesson for life, though, isn't it, Lawrence? Like, if you can just suffer for the first 3 minutes, you can make it through a lot of things.
100%. You get a good cup of coffee, you'd be great. Or some cocoa.
So let me ask you this. Are those things something... I want to tell you how my brain would work if I was doing that. I would just want as many friends as I could so that I'm distracted. Like, do you find that you guys are kind of like, hey, let's all roll down... try to knock it out so we can have conversation and forget we're doing
it. Yeah, is it like, hey, Lawrence is getting in the ice bath. Let's go. Everybody, all hands on deck.
Or is it something you want to be by yourself so you can just like get into your mind's eye and just focus? Like,
with this new generation, you get cell phones, so everybody's on your phone.
Yeah.
Like when I first got in, I'm in the iPhone 4S just dropped.
Oh yeah.
So you're like, oh, all right, cool. So you really got in there. And you just talk because you just try to talk through the pain and you just make fun of people that quit sticking there for long.
Through the pain.
But now, like, you hop in, people's on their phone playing games, texting, calling. But that's probably it used to be a community thing. Like, hey, everybody, we're all hopping in the culture about some practice. You're like, cool.
Yeah.
Because of COVID and everything, it's more like you try to spread out.
Yeah.
Let's say with the sauna, everybody gets in the sauna. The heat up and just have a conversation because of a social thing.
So John and I play music for a living. When I think of like big shows, when I know I've got like a big show coming up, like it's going to be a lot of people, I sort of get ready in a different way. Like I'm a little more juiced that day. I'm like, you know, got to get out there. Is that at all true of playoffs for y'all? Like as a player, like obviously you care about the regular season, you're putting in the work, but do playoffs kind of have a different feel, or is there any different prep for that? Like right now?
Oh, it has a different feel because, not everybody makes the playoffs.
Yeah.
Let's just keep it simple. It's the hardest thing to do is to get to the playoffs.
Yeah.
Regular season, you always have that, okay, cool, we got to keep it going, we got to keep it going. Now it's one and done. Like, if you don't win, you go home.
Yeah.
So, like, that extra time that you have of, like, oh, who we have next week? We don't know who we have next week. You'd be like, we have this team this week. Do everything you can to recover, study, like you're doing in the regular season, but a little bit more, because it's always that sense of thought in your back of your mind that you will go home if you lose the game.
Yeah.
Everybody amps it up. Like, I tell people all the time when rookies come in, they're like, man, this is fast. I'm like, nah, the speed of the game is slow in preseason, right? Then in regular season, it speeds up, right?
Uh-huh.
Then all of a sudden, playoffs is a whole nother speed.
Really?
Like, they were like, what do you mean? I was like, it, for some odd reason, it's okay, you get in there, then you get towards season, you're like, okay, it's fast, it's a fast game, it picks up throughout the year. And in playoffs, they're like, everything moves a lot faster. So for a lot of younger people, they were like, oh, I didn't know, they didn't realize how fast it actually could come. I'm like, yeah, the game's just a little bit faster in playoffs because everything matters. Every play really matters.
Every
situation, every call means so much to the game. So there's like, everybody just picks it up extra notch.
These are rookies who are coming to you being like, man, this preseason game, it's so fast. And you're like, look, I've got great news for you. This is as slow as it gets.
Of course. The best thing about being on the Patriots is it's so fast in practice. They're like, okay, the transition is not that big. But throughout the years, I'm telling you, I'd be like, hey, it picks up. And I'm like, oh, man, that's amazing. I'm like, yeah. Like, it's a whole nother speed.
So what is the Super Bowl then just like the pinnacle of that? Like, that game has got to feel like the flash then.
Yeah. Are you insanely nervous? Do you get more and more nervous as the playoffs continue? You know what I mean?
No, you just understand that every game is a big game. Like, every game is a Super Bowl. That's how you have to keep it in mind, because if you don't win, you lose. So every game has to be the Super Bowl in your mind. So you're like, okay, that's just the glory of everybody wants to go to. Like, this is the biggest game to go to. It's amazing. But like the Super Bowl, it's a slower game. Like, the speed of the game is fast, but everything around it is slow. Like, we got TV timeouts. You got the halftime show. You got the beginning.
Do you guys hate that the halftime is so long at the Super Bowl? Does that bother you guys?
Well, if you've never been, you have to get used to it. That's the 30 minutes you're sitting in a locker room.
Yeah.
Just waiting for the halftime show to stop. So you're going to adjust me, trying to stay warm. It just makes the game so much longer than a regular season game is. Yeah. Don't let somebody go out of bounds and get hurt. Then they're going to have another 2-3 minutes of commercials going.
What are you doing to stay warm for 30 minutes? Like, do they have machines? They put you on a bikes or something where you're just trying to keep?
No, you just, you try to get your sandwich in, like a PB&J to keep your energy up. You stretch a little and you just keep moving and you use the bathroom. You're like, I got to use the bathroom, keep hydrating, keep moving. That's the best thing to do. The worst thing to do is just to sit for that 30 minutes. Yeah. So everybody tries to keep moving around. That's why you see a lot of people walk during some, but they start walking the field back and forth. People like, they're just trying to stay warm because everything takes so much longer.
Really intense games of tag in the dressing room.
I'm just picturing now.
Of course.
I'm just going to be picturing every player in the locker room, PB&J in hand, just walking.
You know what I love about that, too, is with all of the technology today, people are still like, no, man. You got to do PB&J. Like, we know that works. Let's stay with PB&Js, you know?
Like, why? What is it? Was it oranges? Pickles and PB&Js. Ever since you were a kid, that's what it is. That's what's going to stay. It's never going to change.
It's not broken. Don't fix it. So, as Dave said, you know, we're musicians, and we have a strong belief that our life is parallel. It's almost identical to your life in the NFL.
Similar.
So we're going to be running a lot of parallels throughout this conversation. But so one thing that Dave and I and a lot of our musician friends talk about a lot, it's one of my favorite things when we talk to another touring musician who's, you know, been doing this for a while, is wonderful, horrible stories that we have, like terrible road stories where like a show just like went, like the fire alarm went off in the middle of a show, or like you just completely botched some song or whatever. Those are the greatest. And I want to know, like, what are your versions of that? You've been in the NFL for a decade now. Are there any like games where like we wouldn't know this, but you're like, oh man, that one snap, like we had no idea what to play. What we didn't know, you know?
Well, you can see it anytime you play, go on Sundays. Like every, you go watch a football game, and you see anybody turning their head around and it's looking around and like, what is going on? And all of a sudden the ball snap, and then it's like, we just winged it. I remember this one. I have a lot of them, but a lot of them I just won't say. But this, the funniest one I ever had. I was playing with the Ravens. And our coach at the time had a signal. So we had a certain groups that go in.
Yeah.
So one, he's throwing up the hand signal. I'm coming off the field. They're on, not the goal line, but about the 10-yard line. And I'm on the sideline. It's like, all right, cool. And he looks at me. And it's like, what are you doing here? I said, what you mean? Like, I'm not on in that group. He said, what did he say? He said, let's just say there's like it was a Raven group. He said, it's Raven. I said, you didn't call Raven? Oh, snaps. So half the people were not on the field. So the person that's supposed to be on the field is not on the field. So I'm looking at him. They're on the ball. About to be on the ball. So I come sprinting off the sideline, running in there, running up, line up, had no idea what was going on. It was nothing. I was like, I don't know what just happened. They hiked the ball, and I just bolted full speed at the guy with the ball and got a tackle.
They
looked at me like,
that's amazing.
They're like, what happened? I was like, I don't know, bro. I'm so lost right now.
That is just
me. But there's been some times where you just be like, I'm just lost, and you just get off. Being on defense is so great, because when an offensive player messes up, you could see it.
Right.
You know, like, hey, that guard went the wrong way, or they let somebody free up the middle. On defense, you can't really tell when somebody messes up.
Right.
Happened.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, holy crap, what just happened? You're like, we don't know. we fix it on the fly. We can make some things happen.
When at worst is just go try to tackle the guy with the ball all the time on defense. On offense, it's like, no, you're blocking. You didn't run your route right. You're like, at worst, I'm just going to try to tackle whoever has the ball. And then it looks like I knew what I was doing, right?
Correct. The funniest joke ever, I get from one of my teammates. He looks at me all the time. He's like, when y'all mess up, nobody knows.
Yep.
He said, when we mess up in the back end, everybody knows. And I'm like, you're right. I said, when we messed up, it could just be washed under the rug like it never happened. I said, y'all mess up, it's big. And we're just looking around like, what happened?
Yeah.
But there's so many, I got so many different stories about this, not knowing or just being clueless and like, hey, we just got to figure this out on the fly.
Just try to tackle somebody.
When I retire more, those stories might come out.
I was going to say,
we'll have you back. We'll have you back. Last question though, about the going back to the nerves, because I'm kind of fascinated with nerves. Like, again, to run the parallel of musician to your life. You know, like when I'm starting a tour, I just started a tour last November, right? So the very first show is in Minneapolis. Every time I'm backstage in the green room, and when they open the doors for the venue to open for people to come in, I am always so nervous. I feel unprepared. I feel like this is a horrible mistake. And then I walk out on stage, and once I get that first note, I'm probably fine. And then for the rest of the tour, there's a part of me that kind of misses being nervous, because then I'm never, like by show four, I'm not nervous at all. I could walk out on stage at any time. I'm fine. What is that kind of arc like? What is your relationship like with nerves throughout the season and like throughout your career, being in the NFL 10 years? I mean, you're a Super Bowl champion. Like, do you still have the nerves? Do you like being nervous?
Well, everybody handles nerves a little bit differently. Mm. Like leading up to a game, you're just trying to prepare the most. Then when you get to the locker room, you go to pre-practice, everybody has a routine. Like everybody's like, this is what I got to do. Like I face the same person for every pre-practice. I go against it around the same people for every one-on-one drills. Like we build a routine. Like, okay, I know how you like to prepare. I would like to prepare the same way. Let's just knock all this out. It's like we go head to head on run blocking before practice. I mean, for pregame. So it's just me and this one offensive lineman that's hitting each other as hard as we can for two plays. Just to knock all those little jitters out, get the explosion and everything. Then from there, that kind of just keeps you going. But I tell you, like for me, I'm more amped up than anything to get the game started. So when that first kickoff happens, you're like, okay, the kickoff happens. You go out there and you're like, this is what I've been preparing for. The best thing you could do is go hit something as hard as you can. And if that happens, you're going to knock out all the jitters because you're trying to deliver that first punch. But everybody gets nervous in some type of way. It's just all about how do you handle it. Like there's people that vomit and start coughing. There's people that just get real amped up, and there's more people that just get nervous and start pacing. I just found out as the years kept going on and on, their nerves went down because I realized there's only so much you could be concerned about. Like everybody, you're nervous. Like, oh, what if I do this? Or what if I do that? What happens there? I got to the point where I'm like, you know what? If I go out here and hit something as hard as I can, if I do this, if I mess up, that's fine. If they make a play on me, that's fine. We're all players. We're all good at what we do. It's going to happen. It's not about what happens there. It's about what we could continue to do and just continue that battle. And those nerves kind of go away.
Yeah. Right.
But all the nerves should go away when the fireworks start going up in the air. Like the fireworks are the best part of any stadium. But that's what it is. I just kind of realized that there's only so much I could accomplish and so much I could do that if I just go out there and do what I could do, all that anxiety or nervousness just goes away in my mind. I'm like, I got to just keep it pushing.
Yeah.
And that's how I started handling my like. I can't be concerned about what's going to happen, what's not going to happen. Can I make this play? Not make that play? I just got to do what I'm able to do.
Yeah.
And that helped me out for a very long time.
Man,
Dave, Louise, I want to give a shout out. And when I give a shout out, I always laugh because it just brings me so much joy to give a shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with free samples.
You know it, John. This time of year, my allergies are in fuego. They're always on the attack, but I use this and you should too.
Oh, I do, Dave. every day in our house. Yeah. Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D.
Designed for serious allergy sufferers, which is, me raising my hand, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill to relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so you can breathe better.
This double-action combination of prescription-strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, and itchy nose and throat and sinus congestion and pressure with ease.
John, I've been taking Claritin D for my allergies for a long time, and it's been an absolute life changer. I can go for a run without my eyes watering. I may be crying, but it's not
from
allergies.
Totally different.
And I can sing without feeling like I have like a big old, let's not even call it a frog. It's like a toad.
It's like a family of toads.
It's a family. It's a turtle.
Yeah.
In my throat.
So you ready to live life as if you don't have allergies?
Yeah, me.
It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter.
Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed.
Hey, Dave.
Hey, John.
Oh, you're in a good mood. Good.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
You know, our next partner has a product that my family and I use every single day. I started taking Athletic Greens because I wanted to start eating healthier and, you know, being more fit. You know, I want my body to be super fit. But I didn't know where to start, like so many people.
You listen, Athletic Greens AG1 formula makes it almost too easy to start or even continue your health journey, Johnny.
Yeah, so what exactly is in the stuff, you ask?
Can I tell them, Dave?
Okay,
let me answer. There are 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens. You heard that right, folks. Adaptogens in just one delicious scoop of Athletic Greens.
First thing every morning after I saunter over to the kitchen.
Ooh.
You know how I saunter.
You do.
I'm from the Midwest. And even before my first cup of coffee, Dave, I add one scoop of AG1 formula to some cold glass of water, and down it goes.
Okay, listen, it's amazing how that one scoop really does help boost and improve your energy. Am I right, John? Can you?
You're absolutely right, Dave.
Okay.
And that's not all Athletic Greens has to offer. They have more to offer, and let me tell you. It supports better sleep quality and recovery, along with aiding in mental clarity and alertness. Look at how alert I am. Right.
Gosh, your eyes are, you hadn't blinked in half a minute. I really love the price point, too. For less than $3 a day, you can invest in your health. That's cheaper than your cold brew habit. Okay,
oh,
guys?
Way cheaper. There's no better time than the start of the year to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition.
All it takes is one scoop of Athletic Greens and water every day. That's it.
That's it.
Gosh, that's
no
it,
need
guys.
For a million different pills and supplements.
Good night, jagged little pills or whatever it is to you. You can say goodbye to that headache, folks. Let it go.
To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune support vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase.
Good gracious. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/dadville. That's all they're asking.
Again, that's athleticgreens.com/dadville to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance.
You know, one of the things I'm always curious about with NFL players and athletes is kind of what the community looks like with your team, like your friends. And because it's such, you know, it's such a transient career, you know, like you've already played for, is this your third team? No, fourth. Yeah, fourth team, mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. And so is it hard to find, and I would even say with your wife also, to find people as you move to these teams and you're there for 3 or 4 years, is it hard to kind of find a group that you can really go within the team? I mean, obviously you have friends outside of the team in those places too, I would imagine, but is it hard to kind of find people that you can sort of do life with for those years?
No. Cause you know, the best thing about sports is, it's a brotherhood, right?
Yeah.
And that's how you have to look at it. We were out here every single day. We eat breakfast. We go to lunch. We work out. We practice. And once you get that brotherhood, those relationships just keep on growing and growing and growing.
Wow.
I think most people have understood that once they leave the league, and it turns into a different dynamic of, I don't want to bother you because I know what's going on. Everything just comes back a little bit more. That is conversations a couple times with a couple of my buddies. They're like, hey, I really don't want to bother you because I know how it is once during season. That's why I reach out to you more in all season. I said, I understand. But those relationships always are there.
Hmm.
I've had relationships with people from the last 11 years, 10 years from the league, wow. From people that I see once a year because we meet up once a year. Like, hey, this is time of year we're going to see each other. And right. That's what it is. And oh, we just text or FaceTime. But you always try to keep that relationship going. But it's just harder with some people than other people. But you just have to understand that you're going to find that one friend and one teammate that you're just going to continue to build this bond with as yeah. you get out of the league and as you continue to grow.
So there is – that's so fascinating to me. So there is an understanding, it sounds like, that when you guys are playing – you know, we had Dwight Freeney on the podcast about a month ago, and he said the exact same thing. He was saying, like, the season is just so busy and intense and so focused that it's interesting to hear you say the same thing, that those friendships – people especially that are either out of the league or friends that don't play kind of almost have to know, like, look, for these, you know, 6-7 months, I'm just kind of slammed and there's just not a lot of extra space. Where in the summer or time off, obviously I would imagine there's more. But so that's a truth then, that just while you're playing, there's kind of an understood, like, hey, I'm just kind of stitched up for a while.
Correct, because you only have so much time to play this game.
Yeah.
In reality. You yeah. know, and that's what, when I was, so Dwight was one of my old heads when I was younger.
Oh,
so
yeah, that, yeah, yeah.
That was one of those, yeah, that was one of those things is you have to understand that you have a short amount of point of time to play in the game. And yeah, that doesn't mean you don't have friends come out and watch you play and do that. It's just you're so focused on trying to accomplish family and football that you're, yeah. you just, this is what your world is. Like, every single day you go to work. There's no day, you get one day off. So it's like you wake up every single day to go to treatment, go to work, go to practice, film study. That people that are outside, your friends that are outside or your friends that are not playing anymore understand that. And they're like, mm-hmm. okay, I'm just going to let you be, FaceTime you here and there. And it's had this conversation. Like, I have one friend that we seen each other like, Instagram little memes or something every single day, every other day. And that's just what we did. We've been doing it for the last couple of years. And I've known him since college. So it's all like, that was just our thing. Then in the off season, we're able to talk a little bit more because it's like, I understand.
Yeah.
Some people on the West Coast, some people on the East Coast.
Yep. Yep.
It's like, I talked to my dad, called my dad at 8 a.m. He's like, you know what time it is? I said, I don't know, but. I said, I know you're on the West Coast, it's a little bit early. I told you, like, you know you need to get up in the morning. But this is one of those aspects that you just understand. You're so devoted to this game and devoted to your family. The time comes. Like, that's why everybody says, how are you able to do a community service? And how are you able to help the community? You make time for that.
Yeah.
And that actually brings a lot of people together also with your friends and your teammates. Because you're like, we're doing something outside of our time on our days off to join together for a better cause.
Yeah.
So speaking of days off, right? I mean, you know, we all have days off, our versions of day off. But your day off comes after a day of slamming into another 300-pound, not just a 300-pound person, but an elite athlete. You guys are just slamming into each other, which I know from the outside looking in for our listeners, that may be hard for, you know, for everybody to kind of conceptualize that. So let me paint the picture because I know exactly what that's like. I I slipped the other day and I fell on my wrist. Now, so it's not a direct parallel because there weren't any other 300-pounders or elite athletes around. But I fell on my wrist, right? This was 2 weeks ago. So I haven't been able to, you know, I can't, like, do a push-up. I can't do plank or anything like that. And on a serious note, like, it seriously makes me think of, like, this tiny little wrist injury that has, it's nothing. And it has been consuming so much of my mind over the last, I'm embarrassed to tell you how many conversations I've weaved my injury into in the last 2 weeks. And then I think of you guys and I'm like, do you even know when you're hurt? I mean, like, I hear players say, like, injury management is like a huge part of the game, but you guys, mm-hmm. you got to be hurt all the time to the point where you probably don't even, you wouldn't even feel this wrist thing. I mean, are you always hurt? Are you always managing some kind of a injury?
That's a good question, right? I want to make this sound not so bad, but sound great. We play this sport where you get hit. Well, I play where I'm at.
Yeah.
I get hit every single play. Yep. So it's like you're going to get hit every single play. And you try to maintain the ability from treatment, rehab, go ahead and rehab and get a massages, get an ART, get an acupuncture, warming up the muscles, everything you can to keep everything flowing. But like everybody says, it's different between being hurt and being injured. In this game, you're going to have aches and pain. It just happened, you know. You stepped wrong on the field. You caught the grass wrong. You slipped and hit the ground. You're always going to feel something. So the pain threshold you have is high. So you're trying to understand what is true pain and what is not pain. What can you just be like, okay, this hurts, but I can play through it.
Oh, wow.
And like, I still don't understand how wide receivers jump in the air so high and fall straight on their back and get up and run back to the huddle. I'm like, that looks like it's painful.
Yeah.
But you just get used to it.
Yeah.
And you're like, I'm just going to keep going through it. So the idea of pain is out of your mind. And you got the adrenaline rush going, right, so you don't really feel it.
But that complicates it more, the adrenaline. Like you're saying, like you don't know if you just injured yourself.
You just don't know.
Yeah, it's masking it.
Yeah, like Sunday I smashed my finger into the to somebody's helmet. So the tip of my middle finger is like purple. And I'm like, and in my head, they're like, what's wrong? I said, if I take my glove off, I can see what happened. I'm not going to take my glove off. I don't want to see what happened. I said, I'll deal with this later. And that's what you think about it. You just start dealing with stuff later. But you just understand, like a wrist, like you say, when you hurt your wrist, you're like, okay, cool, tape it up, keep it going. Because like I said before, you don't have a lot of opportunity to play this game.
Right.
It's a blessing and something special to continue to do it. Yeah. So you try to be like, okay, let me play through certain things. Now, being injured is certainly totally different. I mean, you cannot go. Like you said, my wrist is broken. I can't play with my wrist. I tore a ligament. That's something you cannot go through. Like a bruise, that's fine and everything like that. It's fine, but once you start doing certain tears and certain breaks, you'll just see people that are like, you are truly injured. You cannot continue to go. But the pain threshold is so high in us. You just got to be like, all right. Like you see with NBA, they ice their knees. They're icing their knees because their knees are hurting.
Yeah.
It's not injured. I'm just in a little bit of pain, and you kind of just play through that.
Man, I know we keep talking about the New Year and New Year's resolutions. We just did a podcast about it, okay? Mm-hmm. But all the meal prep associated with eating better can get really difficult. Are you with me?
Oh, I'm so with you. Meal prep is difficult. Good thing ButcherBox makes it easy.
Now, I see where you're going with this. Thank goodness for ButcherBox, a subscription service that takes the guesswork right out of finding high-quality meat.
Look, high-quality meat is so important to a healthy diet. Not only does it taste so much better, but it's also not full of harmful antibiotics and added hormones, all that stuff.
Get that stuff out of my face, okay?
Out.
My favorite family meal lately is roasting ButcherBox's whole free-range organic chicken. They even have super delicious and easy recipes up on their website, John.
Look, it's hard to beat ButcherBox's quality, but my absolute favorite thing about it is its convenience, Dave.
Yeah, it's right there. It's right there. It's coming to you.
It was not hard for me to say goodbye to the grocery store meat counter. Right.
Now, sweet Janine, who worked back there, we loved her. That's been hard for me.
I do miss her.
Yes,
yeah.
Fingernails.
We keep in touch.
Every month, ButcherBox ships a curated selection of high-quality meat right to the front door.
And if that wasn't enough, they throw in free shipping for the whole continental United States.
You know the thing is, John, that was enough, and they still do it. And that's why we
they
love
still
the Double
do
B, okay?
Yep.
Each shipment contains, take a wild guess how many pounds of meat. I bet you won't get it.
I bet 7 to 13.
No, you are so silly when you guessed meat poundage. It's 8 to 14 pounds of meat, depending on your subscription. That's enough to feed the army over at the Barnes household or the McLaughlin household or 24 individual meals.
24. Sign up at butcherbox.com/dadville and you'll receive the ultimate New Year's bundle in your first box.
This deal includes ground beef, chicken thighs, and pork butt. That's more than 7 pounds of meat added to your first box for free.
Get this New Year's bundle before it's gone at butcherbox.com/dadville.
So you've spoken to this twice, and this is one of the things I'm probably the most fascinated with an NFL player's career. And we talked to Dwight a little bit about this, but one of the things that I think is truly kind of the same about what we do in music and what you guys do in the NFL is that, you know, those careers on average aren't super long as far as your lifespan. You know what I mean? Like, the fact that you played for a decade, you're definitely,
you got to be way
average.
Above it. Than
the normal.
Do you know what the actual average, I'm just curious. You know what the actual average NFL?
3 years.
Three years.
Wow. I mean, you know, and in music, it's longer than that. But I mean, if you average out people who are professional musicians, most are kind of out by their like mid-30s, probably early 30s. Mm-hmm. So the thing that I think is so interesting about both these things, and again, Dwight, it was fun hearing him talk about this, but is that something that is that a conversation that one kind of happens among players? And then two, how do you think about that? Because I can't think of many things that would be more scary than, and I've seen this in some of my music friends' careers where they just didn't think, they thought this is what I'll do until I'm dead, you know, but then life changes or you have a family or, you know, it's not providing the income you wanted it to, or in your world, it could be that you get hurt or, you know, you get cut, whatever. And all of a sudden you're sort of staring at the next 50 years of your life going, oh man, I didn't really think about this, you know? Yeah. How do you think about that? And is that a conversation guys have in the NFL? And because, you know, I can't imagine too how hard it would be to give up something you love and realize, man, I've got more life coming than I've lived that isn't doing this thing that I love, you know? And so I've got to find something else to do or something to give my time to. I mean, is that something that you think about? And how do you think about that? Is that in y'all's world too, you know?
I know Dwight could touch on it a little bit better because he's now retired. But if you truly think about this, and everybody, when you come in, the NFLPA does a great resource with the rookies coming in with seminars and saying, hey, this doesn't last forever, that you have to understand what's your next career goal. And we have resources to do internships, studies.
Oh, that's cool.
Go back, get your degree. They help us get our degrees. Once you leave college, if you want to go for your master's, if you left early, then you want to continue it, you have a certain amount of money a year and credits a year to go.
Oh, wow.
You just have to show you have to accomplish that. And that's the best thing. They're not like, oh, this is it, you're done. No, the PA is like, we want you to continue schooling. We'll pay for you to continue
that's
schooling
amazing.
Up to this amount of money. You just got to finish the courses and show that you should pass. You get reimbursed. That's the best thing. So it makes you take responsibility and everything.
Yeah, that's cool.
But as you say, like the average is 3 years.
Jeez,
you know, nowadays how the rule is, you know, they switch up at the CBA. You could be practice squad a little bit older. So the average is a little bit more high. But when I got in, it was 2 to 3 years.
Jeez.
As an interior lineman. And you try to figure out like, okay, is this for me? What do I do? And you just continue to grind it out. But I remember Jarrett Johnson, he's a Ravens great. Yeah, he played with Dwight in San Diego. And he was like, my goal was 8 years. If I can make the 8 years, it's a blessing.
Wow.
And I told him, I said, my goal. And at that time, I was like, my goal is six. If I could be six, that'd be amazing. And he was like, yeah. So I remember when I got to my 6 year, then I got to my seventh and eighth, I was like, I have reached a goal of many other people can never accomplish.
Yeah.
What's next? And in your mind, like, I got to keep it going. And, you know, you're still playing at a high level. It's like, let's keep it going.
Yeah.
And I think last year is my 10th year. I just finished. This is my 11th regular season I just finished.
That's amazing.
That's crazy.
It makes you think. It's like, now I'm 31. I get it. I just played 11 years in the NFL. What's next? This ain't going to last forever.
Yeah, right, right.
And most people think about it a little bit earlier than most. And they're like, this is my career path if I want to do. But a lot of us is like, okay, you have it in the back of your mind. What do you want to do? What do you want to accomplish? But as you get older, your thinking changes and you're like, well, I'm not really interested in that anymore. I want to more move towards this a little bit. And you just try to figure out what's best for you and your family.
Yeah.
Do you want to live in this area? Do you want to live in that area? Yeah. Do you want to start this business? Do you want to invest in that?
Yep.
How's that going to help you with you and your spouse what are they into, or what joint ventures can you do?
Yes, that's great.
And that all just comes into the kind of a thought as you get a little bit older in the league.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm blessed like that. I've been blessed to play more than a decade, so I'm like, man, this is amazing. This is awesome. What do I want to do when I get done? How much longer do I want to play?
Right, right.
Et cetera. And I think that's the biggest thing.
Is yeah.
Once you get to a certain point, how much longer do I want to play the game?
Yeah.
Most
yeah.
people don't get the opportunity to say that.
Yeah.
Most people are like, well, I wanted to play. I ended my career early. I didn't want it to end early. But then they're in this limbo. Like, what do I do? What do I do? Now I'm at the point, like, what's next? What I want to do? And you just kind of just put it out into discussion and try to get all the resources that yeah. you can and to learn the most of everything to figure out that aspect of it. And some people like broadcast, do this, do that, do this. They have a foot in everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, I kind of felt like, hey, why have a foot in everything? Find something that you're really passionate about and right. just go towards that.
Right, right, right. That's great. Which I imagine having a spouse has got to be so helpful with, because you can kind of dream that stuff together, you know, and find something you can share together.
100%. She's amazing. My wife, Andrea, she helped me out a whole lot. So I'm like a little psychiatrist. You get to come back like, do you believe what just happened? Did you see this? They're like, what do you mean? Did you not see this? See, I saw it on TV. Like, all right.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like hearing myself talk. And she knows that. So when we have it on, like when I'm on TV and she records it, she's like, you want to see your video? I'm like, no, nah, I'm good.
I'm good.
She's like, it was great. I'm like, all right.
Yeah, yeah.
But you get to bounce stuff off each other.
Yeah.
You know? And,
yeah.
And that's great when you can bounce stuff off. And even if you don't have a spouse, if you have a mentor or a yeah. friend that, you just,
yeah.
that gives you your honest opinion,
yeah.
and that's mm-hmm. what you truly want. You want somebody's honest opinion. Does that sound dumb or not?
Yeah,
that's the best. Did yeah. that sound dumb? Yeah. No, it didn't. All right, cool.
We should all be asking that question regularly.
What do you feel like is something or a few things about the NFL that people wouldn't know about? That, like, you know, unless you're on the inside, or things about it that have surprised you? Like, is there anything that in your career you've sort of gone like, let me tell you what y'all don't understand that's really interesting is this, or that's funny or hard, or just things that you now look back and go, man, I just didn't think it would be like this, you know?
One thing people don't understand about this sport is, like, it's not like the NBA, not like the majors. There's a lot of games in that. Here yeah. is, yeah. you have 16 weeks, now 17 weeks. 17 weeks, and you preparing every single week. You don't play a team twice, you play them one time. Unless you're in your division, you play them twice. So you're literally in the classroom every single week learning a new playbook, a new scheme, looking at new formations. So you have to literally dump your brain from Jeez. The past week to this new week to restart it all over. And everybody's like, oh, you just go on the field, you practice. No, you go on the field and you practice in situations, you're running, you're exercising, you still got to go work out in the gym, and you still got to go back into the classroom to do all that. And once you start doing all that, you take your notes, you watch your film, and everybody forgets you go home and has to be a dad again.
Mm, yeah, right.
And you're like, hey, you have to be that family, you have to be that dad, that brother, that son, that grandson. And that people just don't realize how much it happened.
Mm.
That's why mental health has been such a big thing in the NFL for the last couple of years, because now there's a lot of brave people coming out and saying they have issues with their mental health, because yeah. it's a lot of stress that happens.
Yeah.
It's a big workload that you put on a young man at a certain time and expect them to overcome and deal with it. And yeah. a lot of people could do it. A lot of people can't do it. A lot of people have that support staff. And mm-hmm. a lot of people don't have that support at all. And from the outside in, that's just stuff that nobody sees.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody sees like, oh, he messed up. He did this. But why did he do that? What's going on with yeah. him? Let's find the root of the problem. Everybody sees it's Sunday, you get paid a lot of money, you get to play this game, it's a blessing. You're like, yeah, but it's a lot more that goes into just playing on Sunday. There's Saturday from Monday.
Yeah.
So how many hours a week would you say you guys are actually like sitting at a desk? You know what I mean? Like, everybody thinks of it as like physical, like exercise and training. How much of that are you like in a desk? I'm just curious.
You pretty much So you let's say a typical day, you get to work, you eat your breakfast, you go watch film, go to meeting, right? Uh-huh. So you'll be 2-3 hours in meeting.
Every day.
And you go every day. So that's the beginning of the day. So from, let's say from 8 to 10, you're watching film and meeting.
Yeah.
Writing notes, understanding what's going on. Then from that other time, you get warmed up for practice, you know? Then you're on a practice field for 2.5 hours. Then you go, either you go work out before practice or you get ready for practice. Then after practice, if you worked out before practice, you're good. If you don't, you have to go work out. And that's going there and lifting weights and everything. Then you go back into the classroom.
Jeez,
and from there, you go study some more. So you watch your practice film, you break down more film. You compare notes, you have discussions about what you see, how you're going to play, and that just continues to repeat itself. Then you get to go home. And the best thing about it, you just don't go home and it's like, okay, you're done. You still got to watch a little bit more film when you're at home with your iPads. And you watch a little bit more, another game, some more cut-ups. Then you interact. It's either you do it when you get home, you do it at nighttime when you're laying in bed, and that just starts all over again.
Jeez. It is exactly like music. It's exactly like music.
Yeah. It's a nonstop.
You have to be so exhausted every day. And not just physically, just mentally. I can't imagine how tired you are. But the other thing, like I was, ESPN tweeted or retweeted, you know, last night, Alabama's safety had like a couple of big plays that he blew and Georgia won the game, the whole thing. But he, you know, he tweeted this morning like, yeah, I messed up a couple times, but I hear everybody, you know, chirping and keep doing it. It just gives me this energy. But I can't imagine what that would be like as a professional athlete, much less 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s. But now you add social media where people can actually
you're hearing
directly
your critics
to you
in real
like
time.
You're no longer just in the arena hearing everybody scream and they're mad and then you go home and you just have to deal with it. Now it's like you're picking up your phone or logging on to your computer and here's somebody just – you know, going at you. So to your point about mental health, what was already a really hard job, it's like somebody gave, you know, everybody's got the keys to your front door now mentally to sit there and, you know, blast you on your bad days and maybe even your good days. And so there's this inescapable stress. It's just amazing to think about.
Yeah. And a lot, like I said, a lot of people could deal with it. A lot of people can't. I'm not, when I came out of college, Instagram just started.
I was
just like, what is this Instagram thing? What is this Twitter thing? So that wasn't really big around, you know. But I tell people this all the time. Like, everybody can have an opinion. If somebody looks at your life every single day and could either criticize you on everything that you did bad, how would you feel? And they'd be like, well, it will suck. I'm like, okay, cool. I said, but what happens if you don't really care or read what they say? You don't got to go on Twitter and look up your name. You don't got to reply to it. You don't got to understand that. And that's the best thing. Everybody has an opinion, but nobody's opinion truly matters. That's an opinion of the people that are around you that is trying to support you and try to help you grow.
Right.
And I tell people all the time, I said, I don't really care if some fan told me I did bad or did good. If I did good, great. Appreciate the thing. But you did bad. You did this. You did that. I'm like, okay. But I'm also blessed enough to continue to play this game. I'm blessed enough to do what I love. And if you're criticizing me about what I did bad, are you upset that you're not able to play the game?
Yeah.
Because you're criticizing me because there's something I did bad instead of lifting me up and saying, hey, man, you can get them next time. I mean, why are you truly criticizing me? And, you know, that's just a world. Everybody has that Twitter finger thing. They could just sit there and write whatever they want to say and hide behind a computer.
Right.
Does really help nobody else out. And but again, it's just a world of being an athlete. And I felt like over the years that people were able to express their mental health about how that was bothering them, how what they're dealing with inside. And the NFLPA did a great job of dealing with that. It was like, hey, we're going to approach this. We're going to have seminars. We're going to have multiple conversations about this, and I've been a part of a couple of conversations about that, about the advocate about mental health and how it's easier to share and open up about what's going on in your household or what's going on in the locker room to your peers and anybody that can help you. And that's part of it. Like the young man messed up on a couple of plays, but how many plays did he did make throughout the year?
Right.
Yeah.
How many big situations did he accomplish? How many times was he able to help somebody else that messed up? Right. And the best thing about it, you can use that as fuel to like, it drives me to be better and better and better, because now you doubt in me as a person, as a player, and I'm so much bigger. And a lot of people use that as an advantage. But like I said, a lot of people use that as a crutch, and like, I really don't want to hear that.
Right.
But it's just, how do you ignore it? Like, same thing in the music business. Well, I didn't like that song, or you missed that note, or you did this. Like, do you let that eat you up inside? And you're like, okay, cool. I could just change it up and say I meant to do it. It's whatever, and just keep it going.
Johnny. Hey, John. John.
Yeah. I said, hey. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't. What's up? Listen, it's time to kick 2022 off with a better checking account. With, guess what? No monthly fees. I'm not just getting a checking account. We're going no monthly fees.
Yep. Dave, I tell you what it's time for. It's time for Chime.
Ooh,
Chime is an award-winning app and debit card that has no overdraft fees. That's zero. No overdraft fees, foreign transaction fees, monthly fees, or service fees. None of that.
You can access your money when you need it, guys, and where you need it. Chime has over 60,000 fee-free in-network ATMs at tons of locations like most Walgreens, 7-Eleven, some you're going to ask, and yes, CVS stores.
Mm-hmm. Chime makes it easy to send money to anyone. Even if they aren't on Chime, you can still send money to them. No fees for you and no cash out fees for them.
Listen, let's start the year by making good decisions. You can make your first good decision by joining over 10 million people using Chime right now.
Sign up takes only 2 minutes and it doesn't affect your credit score.
Listen, get started at chime.com/dadville. That's chime.com/dadville.
Hey, real quick, Dave, I just want to add a couple thoughts that I've been thinking about.
Okay, great.
Yep. Banking services provided by and debit card issued by the Bancorp Bank or Stride Bank N.A. members FDIC. Get fee-free transactions at any MoneyPass ATM in a 7-Eleven location and at any Allpoint or Visa Plus Alliance ATM. Otherwise, out-of-network ATM withdrawal fees may apply.
Sometimes pay anyone instant transfers can be delayed. The recipient must use a valid debit card or be a Chime member to claim funds.
You know, we don't have a Dadville award. If you've won a lot of awards, you know, and I wish we had a Dadville award because you would, no disrespect to our other guests, but I feel like hands down, you would win the award for many reasons. One, the upper body strength, but two, I don't know that we have ever had a guest on this podcast who has hosted a baby shower for 20 single moms, providing $40,000 in diapers, strollers, etc., all that kind of stuff. That is incredible.
That's insane.
What's behind all that? Where does that benevolence come from for you?
Like I said, it's one of those things that it comes with personal experience. Our third child, my wife had to do an emergency C-section, mm-hmm. where like all the fluid was gone and they had to bring her in there, and they're like, hey, we got to bring you in the emergency C-section. They had to go through the process. I went in the room, didn't know what was going on.
Wow.
And I was like, okay, her blood pressure was dropping.
Yeah.
They got the baby out, everything was fine. But as we were going, the nurses had to leave the room immediately. Like it was a code next door. You're like, what's going on? And somebody was going through something totally different with the baby was losing oxygen and everything like that. Mm. So as we're in triage on our recovery, that same lady was recovering with us. And we overheard, as my wife is recovering, that she's calling her support staff, her mom, her the father of her baby, her friends, and nobody cared.
Mm.
Nobody. Her mama, she was like, mama's had emergency C-section, the baby's on a breathing tube right now, et cetera. And she was like, all right, cool. When you coming home? And they was like, oh, you know, I don't know. They just rushed me in here. I came to the ER because of this. She was like, all right, cool, I got to go. I got to go to bingo. Mm-hmm. And it kills you inside. You hear that, and the same thing happened with the father of a child when they're like, "But doctors don't know what they're talking about. The baby can do this. The baby's in the NICU, and they're pumping the baby, trying to make sure the baby can survive."
Yeah.
And nobody was trying to help her. Everything was just making it more hectic, and she was in and out, in and out. And I remember going to a recovery room that I happened to walk passed her as she was coming in. And we talked to one of the social workers. We said, hey, I want to know what she needs. Because I don't know who's going to help her, but I want to help her. And my wife was very adamant. Like, I need to help this person because she was like, we're blessed and we're lucky that we're in this situation that I have you and I have my mom and my dad, that you're here to help me through this time. She has nobody. And I was like, I understand. We asked her, and she told us everything she needed, and she didn't ask for much. She said, I want some diapers. Can I get some diapers? And this, thank you. We didn't tell her who we were, nothing like that. And we got her a stroller, diapers, everything that baby shower had. That's what happened. And we happened to call a Uber driver, told her someone of the story, and said, can you please wait and make sure somebody picks up this item? Don't leave it on the doorstep because we don't want to get it stolen. And we had somebody check up on her later on that following week or two to make sure she truly got everything, because if she didn't, we was going to send it back over. And that drove me and my wife, when we sit at that dinner table and we discussed what we wanted to accomplish this year in our community work, we always go deep inside and like, what personal reasons can we help somebody else from something happening in our life? And she was like, I want to really impact women of abuse, and I want to impact women that have struggled or had a baby or are about to have a baby that doesn't have that support. And I'm for that, and I think it's a good idea. And we were like, we should get stuff that we will use. It wasn't like, hey, we went in there. No, we got stuff we got. We use our personal stuff that we like. I was like, this is my favorite thing. She's like, this is my favorite thing. We was able to get these 20 women together and gave them, like, we reached out to the Upper Baby owner. And he was able to donate the Upper Bay Vistas, which are very amazing strollers. We have it. I'm like, this is great. And he donated those strollers for us. And we just kind of threw That's everything amazing. In there. And being able to see some people, like, we went in there, lady just had a baby. The baby was probably like 12 weeks old. And she was like, this is a blessing because I didn't have this. But the moral of all that saying is, I know there's people that have that donated to them that are going to pass that down to somebody else that's in need.
Right.
And that's the best thing. And I remember, I like, that's what you do. It's like a domino effect. You want everything to domino down from the charity that you're able to do, the uplifting that you're able to do, that somebody's going to do it also, because they understand what you accomplish in their life, they could do in somebody else's life. And that's what we truly plan on doing. That's why me and my wife we're so big in the community together. It's not just me and her.
Yeah.
It's us together.
Yeah.
That is amazing. One of the things that struck me about that story, I mean, is the situation that you were in, not just your benevolence, you and your wife and your hearts, but it came at a time where, if there's any time for you to understandably just be like razor focused on your family, your wife, your situation, it would be that. But the fact that you guys in that situation were still looking outward and wanted to help someone else. That's just amazing. That's so inspiring, man.
It's really remarkable. Where, like, because you do so much work. I mean, it was so inspiring to see the work that you've put in and that you've done and you're still doing, and that y'all as a family are doing, and your foundation. One, I know that takes, you mentioned this earlier, it takes so much time and intention, which is so impressive, but where does that fire come from? Like, was that something that when you came into the league, you kind of knew you wanted to do? Is that something that you were doing before that? Like, what was sort of the impetus of that posture that you've had and maintained all throughout your career?
Well, I started off, my dad was a firefighter for 25 years.
Oh, wow.
And, he started off, he got us into doing turkey gift bags when I was younger. I want to say starting in high school. And his father was big in the community. He was the first elected African-American district judge. So he was always big in the community, helping
Where
out.
Where was that?
In Nevada.
Okay.
And so in Las Vegas. So we did so much. And as a first responder, you help out so many people. And I remember my dad telling me this story, and I tell people this story all the time, and sometimes it recollects, sometimes it doesn't to certain people, that he went on a call, and I think it was Christmas Eve, and family of four or five, whole house burnt down. Everything just went up in flames. and he saw them, and in that moment he had like something in his mind. He's not the first time he's done it, but something that this is like, hey, I need to do something. He went to the store, bought a turkey, bought some sides, drinks, bought some toys and everything, and went to the place, the hotel they were staying at, knocked on the door and gave it to him, said, I want to make sure that you and your family are able to have a Christmas.
Jeez,
and from there, he looked at us and said, hey, do you want to do 4 turkeys a year to some families that are in need? I know some people. And I was like, yeah, I'll do it with you. And we just continue to do it every single day. Every year that Christmas came around, then it started developing from Christmas to Thanksgiving. And I started in high school. And so when I got into college, I remember my dad said, and we still did it in Las Vegas. He said, hey, do you want to do it in Arizona? I said, yeah, that'd be great. I said, he said, okay, cool. Vons is Safeway in Arizona. Mm-hmm. He said, well, Safeway has a plan where if you buy this many turkeys on this deal that costs about $40 or $30 for a turkey, the fixings and the sides are free with it. So we were like, oh, okay. I said, we talked to the manager. So we put enough and we got over a dozen turkeys for some families, and we donated it to a church that was in need. And it just kept going from there. So when I got in the league, I was already doing it. And I'm going to continue this process because you understand that when I was a kid, like, I had a learning challenge. People went out their way to help me.
Wow.
If nobody has to go out their way to help any other person in this world, but somebody goes out their way to help you, why not pay that back?
Yeah.
And this is a way for me to pay back because I understand. I've been around a lot of friends. I've been around a lot of families that just need a little bit more help. Instead of just turning away and like, oh, I don't see you.
Yeah.
You ask me, like, you embrace him. I'm like, let me help you out. I'm not going to give you a handout because that's what you're asking for. You ask for a little help out. I want to uplift you. And we just continue. And then when I met my wife, she was on the same path in her mind. Like, she wanted to help out a lot of people. Wow. She's from Colombia. So we send a lot of stuff to Colombia also. So it's like, what are we able to do this to help out another person? Because we're fortunate enough to be where we're at. Not everybody's fortunate enough to be blessed to do what you're doing for a living, to have fun, or to have the financial stability to not worry about certain things.
Right.
So if you see somebody that's struggling, if you see somebody that's down in their luck, if it's at school, if it has to do with mental health, it has to do with this, hey, I'm just having a bad day. Why not say, hey, I have some extra time. I have some extra resources. Let me help you out to better you off. Because you just don't know what that person is going to accomplish in life from what you just did.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I this is always the truth. It's always the truth. I actually made a note of this last year. I wrote this down so I remember. But it seems to me that everyone that I know is that's really benevolent, that have really giving hearts, they have always, always been affected by benevolence before. Like, it seems that benevolence has a way of making you benevolent. Like, when your life has been affected by someone's charity and time and giving, it's almost impossible that it doesn't turn into that as an outlet for you. Like, that's always, I look at my friends and people I know who are the most giving people, and they all have stories about someone did that in some way for them. So it's really beautiful to kind of hear as you're saying. So we want to talk about your kids before we release you back to the gridiron. I've never said that. I sound like my granddad out there on the gridiron, kid. So you have these 3 adorable kids, which they literally look like kid models.
Super cute.
Golly,
you
Moses.
Have some cute kids.
Yeah, no joke.
Thank you.
I don't know if you photoshopped them, but either way, they're really cute. So what was becoming a dad like for you? I mean, it sounds like, you know, your dad is a superstar. I mean, what was that like? And is it what you've expected it to be? Like, what has it been like?
Well, I'm a girl dad, so, you know.
Yeah.
That was a shocker.
The best.
You know, in my head, I'm like, oh, man, boys are going to be amazing. But when you have your daughter, it's like, I'm going to marry, as every male does. Are you sure? That's a girl? Like, yeah, you don't see that? I'm like, nah, I don't see none of that. Like, I think he's there. Like, no, that's
he's
a girl.
In there,
like, dang, okay. But it truly opened my eyes a lot. And people that have known me for the last 5 years have said, hey, you have started changing a lot. I said, yeah. And he's like, I can see more of your sensitive side. I'm like, because in reality, being having daughters makes you open up a little bit. You have to be more sensitive. You have to be understanding.
Right.
Yes, you start doing hair.
Yep.
It makes you embrace life a little bit differently, but it's amazing. You know, I never thought I'd be the person I am today without my kids. And I felt like they helped me grow more as a man, as a person.
Mm-hmm.
And every single day, I understand the blessing I have with them. Like I said, not everybody's able to have a child, and there's a lot of adoptions, and I'm happy that people are able to adopt. But like the aspect of waking up, coming home from a hard day, and seeing your kid look at you like, "Hey, I love you," it is heartwarming. Like we came back out. I got back out 1:30 in the morning after the Miami game.
Jeez.
And as I got home, my oldest came and she walked in the room, and I was like, "Oh, scratch that. My son's already in the bed." So I'm just like, "Hey, bro, move over."
Yeah.
So he comes in and she walks in like 3:30 in the morning and she says, "Daddy, you're home. I love you." Aww. I said, "I love you too. Go back to your bed." And she was like, "All right." She gave me a hug and she went back to her bed. Then when he woke up and realized I was next to him, he was like, "Oh, hey." And I'm like, and like that feeling right there is just so amazing. So warming. It's like, you just can't not imagine it.
That gets me to a question, a very specific question I have for you, which I have this question for all other dads, but it has a particular spin for you that I'll explain in a minute. I want to know if your kids listen to you, right? Because my kids, I'm a girl dad as well. I love my kids to death. They are the best. If somebody said point blank, "Hey, do your kids listen to you?" My knee-jerk, honest reaction is, no, not really. They don't listen to me. But here's the difference. I am not quite 6'4", 300 pounds. I'm not going to give my dimensions out right here, but I'm not quite the same size of man that you are. So, like, if I walk into a room with a crowded people and I'm like, hey, everybody, I'm not expecting everybody to turn and listen to me, right? I would imagine your life experience leading up to being a dad, you're the guy, if you walk into a room that I'm in and you're like, "Hey," I'm like, "Shh, everybody, shh, be quiet, listen." So I'm curious if your kids listen to you, and if they, and the times when they don't, what is that like? Are you like, "Guys, I'm someone you're supposed to listen to. Look at me, come on.
Look at me."
And they're like, "No, we're not listening." What is that like?
My daughter listens 100%. My daughter listens, like, she's amazing. My son looks at me like, "You want some of this?" I'm like, "What?" Like, "You want it? You want to try me?" I'm like, "All right, bro." I see what we got to do. But it comes to a point where every dad has that look. I'm like, "Hey, I think I'm going to get in trouble." And there's some times where they don't listen at all. I'm like, "All right, guys, it's enough." Then it goes to a point when I'm like, "Hey, like, this is what's going to happen now." Yeah, and they kick back in point. But I'm telling you, I got one of them that my bud just looked at me in my face.
He wants to square up.
he looked at me like 2 days ago, and I said, "Hey, man, clean up." He looked at me and said, "What?" I said, "What you say to me?" He said, "You want some of this?" I'm like, "Nah, man, I don't want no piece of this." But they listen here and there, but it gets funny when they don't. Like, I told him yesterday, he's in the Spider-Man right now. I'm like, "Man, I'm going to take all your Spider-Man toys."
Uh-oh.
Yeah. He's like, "No, I'm Spider-Man. Nobody takes Spider-Man."
You can't take Spider-Man from Spider-Man.
And I'm like, "All right, man."
He squares up with you. That is amazing.
That is adorable.
Oh, my gosh.
It's the best thing ever.
Yeah. What are the ages of your kids?
4, 2, and 8 months.
I mean, that is hysterical.
You're in the thick of it.
Yeah, you're in it, man.
Oh yeah, and I enjoy it. But the only times I don't enjoy when that 3, 2 in the morning they come in the room and they start pointing and like, "I just want to talk to you," and I'm like, "I don't want to talk to you."
Yeah, no.
I just want to go back to sleep.
Yeah, this nighttime is not talk time. This is not when we talk. So once again, thanks for being this. We have two questions we ask everybody before we release them back to the wild or to the gridiron, as I said before. I'll ask you the first one. What is the one thing you want your kids to know?
Oh, man. I'm trying to word this right, but they are somebody. You know, everybody is a somebody. And you're somebody that matters. It's not about what I do in life, about anything, but you matter. Mm-hmm. And I like to tell people all this all the time. And when I talk to kids with learning disabilities, I tell them a lot, like, you matter.
Yeah.
It's not about what people think about you. You have to understand that you truly matter in life. Mm. And you do the best you can. You know, we could defeat you down.
Mm. Man, that's beautiful. I love that.
All right, last question. The day comes. You have passed on. It's your funeral. What do you want your kids to get up and say at your funeral?
You know, when you start having to do these trusts and life insurances and wills, that's the biggest thing that you think in your mind, right? Like, what would people want to say? And I lost two grandparents the last 3 years. Mm-hmm. So in my mind, that always comes in the back of my head, and I'm like, what do I want my kids, or what do they want me to remember? And the only thing I tell my wife, all I want my kids to go up there and say is that I love them. Mm. And he was the best father that I could have. And that's it. Long as your kids say, I love you, and you did everything you can, there's nothing more and nothing less that you can give away.
Yeah.
Because like I told my dad, he calls me every day. Sometimes I don't answer, sometimes I do. And he's like, I just want to let you know I love you and I'm here for you. As long as you're that, you love your kids and that you're there for them, doesn't matter what you give them.
Yeah.
It's all about that aspect, that you're there to have a up on the ear. Other than that, just take a shot for me. Like, hey, take a shot at some scotch or some tequila and be like, hey, man. I said, this was his drink. This is what it was. Like, everybody just take a little toast for him. Just cheer him on, because you're not celebrating a death. You're celebrating a life. That's how we live.
Yeah. That's a great word. Man. I would love to see some tequilas at some funerals. Oh, that's amazing. Well, listen, I want to tell you good luck in these playoffs.
Yes,
with an asterisk of that. Maybe not great luck against the Titans if you square up against them again. And then I hope, sadly, that you lose, but I hope you have a great game.
Yeah, well, we're cheering for you as a player.
So we need this one bad. You've already won yours.
Thank you so much for doing this. You are an inspiration.
Yes, man. Absolutely.
We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, and thank you for cheering us on if we ever play the Titans again.
Yeah, no. No, it ain't happening. Dead fish.